Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for May 11th, 2023. We'll get right into it, because frankly, this is going to sound silly, but we just don't have a lot of changes. We're still looking at the spider coming down into options expiration, which is next week, and maybe even a little bit longer than that as we move down to the bottom end of the trading range. A break of 408 would probably tell us that we are on the way to do that at this point. In other words, the trend line has changed. There's a little bit of sideways support in the 406, 407 area, but that could break as well. And obviously, if it holds in there and we get a buy signal, we'll take it. We are seeing, by the way, let's just talk a little bit because we've had some questions. Some of these regional banks are down. They're just filling gap ups, not particularly worried about it. And again, in addition, the strategy with these regional banks should be to pick the strong ones in terms of relative strength, give them time. I think they'll need a couple of quarters of earnings data and stuff, and we'll see how all that goes. But basically, you know, we're going to look to buy some more of those in 6 months or so. We're in no hurry to do it. We've got baseline positions there. Oil is coming down. You know, oil stocks are coming down into what we think will be a seasonal low at the end of May. Love to see ExxonMobil at 100 or below. Love to see Chevron, as we've said, at 150. Or below, ideally 145. We're in no rush again. We're going to wait for buy signals on these. We're going to wait for them around the end of the seasonally favorable period in oil. Let's see how that goes. In terms of bonds, we're looking at a 100 to 110 range, currently at 105.11. It is doubtful to see how much closer we can get to the middle of that range. We have no changes. We note that emerging market bonds, we've talked a little bit about VWOB and some of those, they're still staying in their right shoulder, so we want to be in those. If you want to look at LQD, which we will do very quickly again, still in that right shoulder, the same with MUB. So no change in the bond market. Looking at the oil market, or looking at gold rather, gold is holding on here, but a break of 107 to 106 would be a concern and suggest that this move in gold is likely ending. But for now, again, you know, realize we sold this in the 180 area at the end of January, and we're happy with that decision. Let's take a quick look at international. EEM is down and looks a little bit worse than EFA, but both don't look as interesting to us as the SPY does. We're looking at FEZ. It's down a little bit. A break of 44 on FEZ could target like 41, 42. That area, we would be looking to buy that again when the spider hits 380 or so. I know this is relatively short for my monologue, but at the same time, really nothing is happening. We think the market's down. The market is down. But, you know, really nothing changed here. So I guess with that, I'm going to stick Jeff Garbaz on with some questions. Jeff, do you have any questions for us?
Hey, Fred. How are you?
Doing okay.
Well, it's actually good you got me on because I got to jump on a short interest call at 10:30. We just got out the latest short interest numbers, so I'll be pretty brief in my comments to you. So the first question I have is, it just seems like the market, like if we look at SPY, 415, 410, 405, 400, we're just bouncing between these levels, and not a lot is occurring. Is that a fair statement? And we're not even really seeing a lot of sector rotation right now. So I'd like you to kind of weigh in on that. It's like, yeah, intraday, we have days where we just, you know, paint the tape all day long and we just trade in an extremely narrow range. Or we have a day like yesterday where we literally had six moves of 20 S&P points or more. So we moved 120 points intraday, but we only moved up by 18 points by the end of the day. So I'd like you to really kind of talk about that for a sec.
Yeah, this is, for whatever reason, the market is staying in its trading range and the range is even narrowed up. Obviously, that has implications for a bigger move down the road. And frankly, we think that bigger move, the real bigger move, is going to be up. But at this point, there's really not a lot to say we want to buy stocks or not buy stocks. And we're really looking at where we are in terms of the signals. And, we probably won't really advocate any sort of major buying until we get stochastic recycles on the daily, unless we start to break out to the upside from here. But we don't anticipate that yet. We look for down into the end of May. And then we're going to be watching a number of things like the oil market. But yeah, Jeff, this is actually kind of nice to not, have a lot going on. It's sort of nice towards the end of the school year where we can all take a little bit of a break. I will say this, Jeff, I have figured out the day that the most important thing in the markets is going to happen. I'll tell you in advance when it's going to be. It's going to be June 22nd. That's when I had my cataract surgery, so I will not be able to see properly. So obviously, yep. At that point, there we go, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay, so here comes my first question for you. I saw a research piece in last week that tried to defend the breadth issue. So I want to tackle it from a couple standpoints. The first question for you is, they stated that small cap lag large caps during secular bull markets. Do you kind of buy into that, or do you not buy into that?
Jeff, I think that's disingenuous because small caps tend to lag in bull markets towards the end of bull markets, but they definitely lead in the beginning. So I think the statement is not strictly correct, but you really have to look at the timing.
Okay, great. And then, like, the depth, I'm doing some work on my end, going back like 20 years, looking at the relative strength of SPY against the S&P, and when it starts to deteriorate, and then you start to get separation between small cap and large cap. And clearly there is really big separation right now. How worried should we all be about that? Let's call it from a scale of 1 to 10 right now. Because the S&P is hanging in there. It's up for the year. The NASDAQ's up for the year. But yet small cap is just, and by the way, mid cap too. So you could also add on some mid cap comments too. So what do you make of that, you know?
Well, Jeff, it's one of the classic things you see before a recession. But again, I'm going to come back to the old adage that the stock market has predicted 9 of the last 5 recessions. If we don't have any sort of recessionary behavior, that relationship could change in a hurry. Right now, it's saying to buy large cap may be defensive and buy the largest cap stuff you can find. But again, that could easily change. And Jeff, again, we're going to have to see, leading economic indicators are down. I do a conference call with some people that follow the leading indicators once a month, and the leading indicator stuff is still down, but it's not a disaster, and it may be that the market is thinking we're going to have a bigger disaster than we actually have. But at this point, again, you're not really, we're not really buying much of anything here. We're waiting for stochastic recycles, and then we'll take a look and see where we are when we get that on the spider, if we can get that.
Okay, that's definitely.
And let me throw this out to you. I am definitely holding on to my small cap allocation, personally.
Okay, because look, we all know. I mean, the $64,000 question is: are we going to have a soft landing and no recession? Are we going to have a recession, or are we going to have a hard landing, really bad recession? I think we can say one and two are probably more likely than three. Three is probably not that great a likelihood unless we revolve into something much bigger. And I heard someone put it, Fred, a great way on a Twitter Spaces I was listening to, with a guy who I respect. He said basically the Fed will only drop rates if three things occur. A crisis, which is like a geopolitical crisis. So let's say Russia puts off a nuclear weapon. Second would be credit, like a credit crisis. And third would be claims. And then this morning we finally got claims like a 264 from 242. And I heard someone also, I have an addiction to liking macro stuff. So I heard someone talking this morning about the claims number and saying that we got to get to like a 350 number before we're really recession bound and having, kind of an issue. So that to me is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
agree?
And that does make sense, Jeff. I think that you're going to, things have got to get a good bit worse before the Fed drops, and the Fed may not drop as much as people think they are. In other words, I see Gundlach out there with a forecast that the 10-year is going to go all the way back to 2% or below. My question is, what if they drop and then stay steady at a lower rate for a while? That's what I think is going to happen myself.
Yeah, okay. Okay,
ahead.
So last question for you. Hang on, I'm just pulling this up, so give me 1 second. I want to make sure I'm correct on this. Hang on 1 second. I just have to put in two moving averages just real quickly, just so that we can make sure that I am correct on what I'm going to say. I read it, but Fred, sometimes you read something and you're like, well, I don't know if I believe that or not,
Yeah. I know that feeling an awful lot.
I just don't want to say something stupid. Okay, I'm not saying something stupid. Okay, so the 50 crossed the 200 to the upside back in February. Kind of funny, at the day we peaked. It's still positive. The spread between the 50 and 200 is pretty decent. It's upward sloping. How much credence do you put in, oh, God, I got to buy stocks because the 50 is above the 200?
None.
Thoughts? Okay.
None.
And tell me why.
First of all, Bob Farrell has done a bunch of work on the 50 and 200 and basically has said that the market usually changes direction right after they cross, and that's happened again from the sound of it. Second of all, if you know why the 50 and 200 were created as moving averages, they were created by Joe Granville, and he used the 50 and 200 because they were easier to compute on a slide rule.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because back then when the 50 and 200 were being popularized in the early 60s, they did everything by hand, Jeff. They didn't have calculators, right?
Yeah, it's kind of incredible what we can do now, right, Fred?
Yeah, it is, and I have found that the 5 and 20 do a bit better a job, and you get your you can vary the time frame by going daily, weekly, or monthly. You can make a longer or shorter period. So I tend to look at that a little bit more. So I don't care about the 50 and 200 at all. I think there's something that's put out there for the public because newspaper people tend to want easy answers. Jeff, I'm going to ask you a very quick question before you jump on your short interest call.
Okay.
And that is, what are you going to tell them? How does short interest look? A lot more, a lot less?
No, we went up fractionally. We went up by 7 basis points for New York and by 9 basis points for NASDAQ. But here's
They're not a big move.
But here's the bigger picture, though. In the last 5 reporting periods, New York's up 6.69%, NASDAQ's up by 8.3%. And if we look at the absolute number, we peaked last year at $15.7 billion on New York. And we hit a low, see here, 14.4 in January, and now we're back at 15.4. So we're very close to being almost close to our all-time highs on short interest, right?
Right.
And NASDAQ peaked at 13.2 billion. We got to a low of, within 15 days, on 215 of 11.9 billion. And now we're back at 12.9 billion from 13.2 billion. So the bottom line is shorts have been adding. And that is one thing that is really, really positive out there. Although it's really interesting in our work, we like to look at what we call type 1 short squeezes, versus type 4 long squeezes, which basically means stocks are weak technically and no one is short. We have so many more type 4s than we have type 1 short squeezes. That's because the tech rank is just awful. And our tech rank is relative strength against S&P over the last 100 trading days. So that dramatic underperformance is what's causing, and our average tech rank is down like at 33, which is like an all-time, like kind of bumping along the bottom of typically where we go down to. And it isn't, by the way, it's not a good indicator in terms of saying we're going to have future weakness in stocks. But what it is really good at is telling you when you have a bifurcated market or a big dichotomy between large cap and small cap, or right, large cap versus the rest of the universe. And that's what we got now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I felt, and again, the old adage, never short a dull market. You know, people are shorting a dull market now. We'll just have to see what happens. And Jeff, the way this may resolve for your short interest call is we get a sharp drop that fails and is immediately reversed. And that's sort of what I'm expecting.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Okay, cool. I'm going to hop. Okay,
have
see
a good
you.
Call,
bye-bye.
And we'll open for questions from the field. Questions? Hope Jeff and I weren't the only people on the call. Star
hey.
Six. Hey there, how are you?
Hey, Fred.
Yes.
Okay. Let's. How's XBI looking? I remember you mentioned last week about 85, 86 resistance. Looks like we're poking right there. What do you think? It looks like.
I still think it looks good. And actually, again, IBB looks better, and we had it in the chart book. And I noticed that the weekly chart of IBB actually looks more and more like a bottom, and XBI does as well. So I'm very happy holding those, even though I think they could come down. These are looking more and more like bases that are going to resolve to the upside. So I would be holding my biotechs very happily here. This could be a second half story.
What's your, I guess, upside target on XBI here if it gets through this resistance, like 90 to 90?
125 to 125 is possible.
But it's got to get through, I mean, obviously it's got to get through 90 too.
Yeah,
or so for,
yeah, 90 to 100 would be another spot to die, but, you know, 125 would be very reasonable.
Okay. And as far as SPY, what would you say? You said 408, 406. We break below that. We kind of broke below it last week, but we kind of had a big reversal day Friday and poked right back into the range again.
Yeah, and I will mention that is the reason that we're not liquidating stuff out of models. Because,
right.
And again, let's talk about breadth for just a minute. Jeff is absolutely correct in saying that there is short-term deterioration in the breadth numbers and indicators that I look at. What he didn't mention is that short-term deterioration is coming in the context of very good intermediate-term improvement from last year. So we still think that breadth is saying that surprises are going to be on the upside on an intermediate basis, okay? Maybe not in a short-term basis, but on an intermediate basis. And that's really what we're thinking of. And what I would be doing here, especially for someone like you who's a little bit more aggressive, although I guess you can't do this as easily, I was going to say in the days of paper tickets, I would have my tickets written out for what I wanted to buy on a sharp drop and be ready to run to the cage and throw them in when we hit 380 on the spider. With having to save the tickets on the computer, I'm not sure you can do that. But I would know what I wanted to buy because if I'm correct, we may see a very sharp drop that doesn't last. In other words, we have a V bottom on the next drop.
But you're not stuck on the 380 per se, right? I mean, I know
no,
that's
no, not at all.
But,
if I get a good buy signal before then, I'll probably take it. If it, the only thing I would say is, let's say something goes wrong here and we go to 350, I will still be throwing in buy orders at 380 on the way down. And again, remember the last time with the move to 380, we had the banking crisis. All of a sudden, all the banks in the in America were going to go busto, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we went to 380 and stayed there for like an hour.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that could happen again.
It's going to probably be the debt ceiling thing that's June 1st, and you know how they always leave it to the 11th.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably going to be
And sadly, I felt that the way the debt ceiling was going to be resolved was that George Santos would resolve it. He would come up with a compromise, and everyone would laud him as being brilliant. Now with this indictment and having him with, you know, in jail or whatever the hell it is, that seems less likely. But I still am sticking that George Santos is going to save the day. Because he's as idiotic as most of them are up there. Just a little more blatant about it.
Exactly. All right, last one, OIH. It looks like it's right on support. Are you seeing that here in the, like, which was kind of the banking crisis low there in the low 250s, high 240s. But seasonality is still against us. So still
hoping that OIH can make it to 200 by the end of May.
Oh, you're looking for a major. Okay. So
I would love to see just a huge collapse.
So you're looking for that gap to fill, then. There is a gap in there.
I may not see that, but if I do see that, that's what I want to buy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not in a hurry to get it. I know the stocks I want to buy, but, and you know, if I don't see it, I'm still going to buy some stocks, right?
Yep.
But
weekly's already,
cool.
Weekly's already below 20 hanging out.
Yeah.
Daily's been bobbing and weaving. And, you know,
yeah.
But,
yeah,
it looks like
if
the support gets taken out, though, I think, you may be right then, because it's sitting right on it right now.
Yeah.
All right, man, I appreciate it. Thank
cool.
you.
Cool. Have a good afternoon. And next guy.
Fred?
Yes, sir, Yogesh.
Hey, Fred.
Okay.
Let's do Yogesh first, sir.
Go ahead.
I see the lately the Google, Amazon, the Booking, and NVIDIA, those are all doing well, but especially Google and Amazon lately have joined the party. How long this party can last? Should we do anything or continue buying or holding?
I would be holding those stocks. I know that there are some analysts out there. My friend Rich Bernstein is one. I think Michael Hartnett, who I know and would consider to be a friend, at Merrill Lynch is another, that are saying that these are going to blow up. But from a technical standpoint, Yogesh, there just is no reason to suggest that they're going to blow up.
Correct.
Right. They may. And even more, Yogesh, I think that the reaction to the earnings that these stocks are coming out with is
earnings are coming out to be better. Yeah. Earnings are
well,
to be better.
And also the reaction. I mean,
right.
You know, Apple reported decent earnings. The stock is trading really well. It just doesn't look like it's going to blow up. You could put stops in on them if you're worried about it, or you could say, you know, Apple is, say, a 130 to 180 trading range, and it may stay in that range, in which case we're closer to the top of it. But even if we're closer to the top of it, we still got another 6 to 8 points to go before we get to the top of it, so there's no reason to sell them now. So I'm watching them, but, you know, In the stock market, I'm going to just say one more thing and then we'll get to the next guy. In the stock market, unless you have something like the pandemic, you do not crash off the top. You crash after you've been going down for a while. And so you see what I'm saying? So I'm confident we're going to dick around before we blow up. If these are going to blow up. Sorry. Let's have your next question. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Fred, this is
Booking. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Finish up.
No, please go ahead. I'm done.
Okay. Fred, Joe, and Pepper Pike.
Hey
quick
there,
couple
Joe.
Of them.
Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I've been busy. Just got back home from New Mexico.
Good.
So it's been fun. Zoetis, that's Zulu Tango Sierra.
ZT. Oh, God. Fred, type, will ya?
Yeah, Zulu Tango Sierra.
Zulu Tango Sierra. And you know I'm going to be in Ohio in a few weeks.
Pepper
Pike is near
it.
Cleveland, right?
Right. Pepper Pike's a suburb of Cleveland, but 25
miles
away.
Wait, if you want to visit, do get a hold of Todd Starnes, because I will be
we'll
out
do.
There and we're going to have a couple of days. He's the Invesco wholesaler.
Yeah, great.
That looks like it's probably going to go higher, and even more important, you've got a plethora of support at 175. You know, are you in it or not?
No, I own it from around 140.
Then you want to stay with this. If you want to add to it for clients or new clients that may not have it, I would recommend trying to be cheap and putting in orders at 178 and seeing if the market can come down and pick those up.
Gotcha.
But this looks like it's going to trend up to the 200 area, and then we have to look at it.
Real hard, okay. Another one, Charlie India, Cigna.
Yeah, Cigna. This is trading just not so well compared to some of the other healthcare stocks. You need to get this above 271 to be really groovy. It was up there this week, close to it. And I was looking at it in the chart book last night and thinking that this was really – you know, it's a bottoming formation, but it's probably going to take a little bit more time.
Gotcha. Linda, L like Lima, India, November.
Okay. I would have pronounced that Lind, like that Paul Lind, the comedian.
Yeah.
Who was one of my favorites. You know, my grandmother loved Hollywood Squares. I remember as a kid watching it with my grandmother, and Paul Lind was her favorite.
Yeah, very quick, very quick-witted now.
Yeah. You've got a lot of support on that at 364. If you want to pick up a little bit of that versus 364, you can do that.
Very good. And one more, Heister, HY, Hotel Yankee.
Okay. That, again, the only risk on this is that it starts to go below 50 and gets to 46. This looks a little bit less appealing than Paul does. Lind does.
Gotcha.
But again, it's showing some relative strength. It's probably going to be a decent stock. And materials themselves continue to show some relative strength here versus the 2020 highs. Healthcare looks a little bit better, and both have decent accumulation.
Gotcha. That's what's important. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Paul and Hudson, speaking of Paul's.
How are you, Paul? Sorry.
I'm good. Two names for you. If you could just give me a comment on TIP first.
TIP.
Yep.
You know, that is still trading very well. I'm a little bit surprised that it is. The only thing I would say is if that starts trading below 109.20, you will look at that again. Send me an email if that starts trading lower than 108, 109.
Gotcha. And the next one would be Apple, Charlie, Larry, Sam.
Apple, Charlie, Larry, Sam. Acelus. You know, it's a nice up formation. It's broadening. You're right at resistance here in the 122 area. But it's showing relative strength on the weekly chart, and it's certainly a hold. If you have interest in buying this, go ahead. I would leave a little more money out to see if you can get it to 105 on a drop, but you might not.
No, we've got to stop in on your 3-week rule. So this is one of our top holdings. So we're adding for new money, but we're really, you know, just trying to protect to the downside on the
run-up. Yeah, this certainly has had some nice gains that you would hate to see disappear.
Right. Thank you.
Got it. Other questions? Might be light today. We're getting towards vacation time. Other questions? If not, going once? Going twice? Very well. This will end the Fred Report technical market call for May 11th, 2023. Everybody have a lovely weekend.